the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is guardian and shepherd of our souls. Can't help wonder, can't help asking an important question. As we move through the weeks of the Easter season, we are at the midway point of the great 50 days. So that question, what are the implications? What in real time of our being a community of the resurrection? In other words, does Easter really make a difference? We asked this question this afternoon within the framework of what I mentioned at the very beginning of the Mass, traditionally called the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, based on the Holy Gospel. As Christ spoke to his circle of dependents, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We ask this question as well, as I mentioned, as we participate in the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, the Sunday Holy Mother Church sets apart to pray for vocations to the priesthood, religious, and consecrated life. But back to that question, does Easter really make a difference? During the Easter season, we have been listening to the Acts of the Apostles. And at the end of the day, this portion of the New Testament, we could call really a diary. It's the testimony of those who were part of the earliest Christian communities, the formative days of our church. And I want to propose that it is here, in the Acts of the Apostles, that we find the answer to our question, Easter really make a difference? We can answer that question by looking at the disciplines, the practices of those early believers. They began to engage in them so that they would live. They would live in the very light of the risen Christ, would learn by his sacrifice, by his pouring out his life for them, they would begin to understand at a much deeper level what it meant to be fully human. Maybe described by Saint Irenaeus in the fourth century, glory of God is the human person fully alive. Glory of God is the human person fully alive. They then began to experience that abundant life of why God sent his only Son, and that would bring them into the great hope then of eternal life. So in the Acts of the Apostles, where do we find the answer? The Acts of the Apostles breaks down Christian life into four simple disciplines or practices, four ways that they began to practice their faith. And this is how they understood life in Christ, how they lived out their lives in the safekeeping of the Good Shepherd. First, the Acts of the Apostles gives testimony that the early disciples were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They listened. They wanted to learn. They realized they had something to learn. They preferred the inspired Holy Word of God to be their teacher, instructor, we might use the term today, to be their spiritual life coach. Number one, they had an appetite for wanting to learn. Secondly, they were committed, as the Acts of the Apostles says, to fellowship, the well-being of the community, their family, their friends, their neighbors, others who were beginning to share this Christian faith with them. So very simply, they did that by meeting together, committed to fellowship. They began to understand that the very first obligation they met, we could use this term today, simply to show up. And thirdly, the Acts of the Apostles records that they were devoted to the breaking of the bread. They were beginning to understand what happened at that Last Supper in that upper room. They began to know that the celebration of the Holy Eucharist was their primary connection to the risen Christ. Do this in memory of me. Beginning to know that there was nothing else more important for them, because it made them what they were. Heard that in the second reading. First children of God, and now the body of Christ. So they would remain faithful to that sacrificial meal because they knew that it was there. It's there that was the source of their salvation. Fourthly, lastly, the Acts of the Apostles says, writes, records that along with the breaking of the bread, they were faithful to the prayers. Simply, they came to learn that the family that prays together stays together. And they knew that there would be a sort of examination at the end, a test. How well did they grasp this teaching? How well did they practice their faith? But when they came face to face before the judgment seat of Christ, who was sitting there was not someone who would frighten them, someone who would make them anxious, but sitting there is the Good Shepherd. That wonderful phrase from St. John of the Cross, one of the mystics of our church. In the end, he said, we shall be examined by love. In the end, we shall be examined by love. So we too follow Christ the Good Shepherd and live under the canopy of his care, safety of his embrace. Even in those times when it's not easy or it doesn't always feel good. I share with you, it sounds a little brutal if not grotesque, but I share with you a practice common among the shepherds in the old, old, old days. Seems a little hard to hear, but here's how the story goes. When a shepherd decided that a little lamb might be a troublemaker, or maybe a too rambunctious, constantly taking off, getting lost, getting a little bit too close to that wolf that we heard about, the shepherd breaks one of the lamb's legs. But then, he carries the lamb in his arms for weeks. And weeks and weeks until the legs heal. Finally, when the lamb can walk on his or her own, from that day on, the little one stays close to the shepherd for the rest of his life, because he's come to know, to experience, that there is a very comfortable place for him, the shepherd's company. Feels safe, secure. So if you feel on this Good Shepherd Sunday that it is difficult or it is challenging, I always like to remind folks who share with me at times when life is rather difficult, because the image has worked for me. I ask them, bring to the image of Christ the Good Shepherd lifting you up on his shoulders, carrying you, not unlike this little lamb, for as long as he needs to, for as long as you need him to. It's a great comfort, great consolation. Good Shepherd has you close to his heart and in the safety of his arms. So at the midpoint of the Easter season, it's probably a good time just to take a bit of an inventory based on the disciplines and the practices of those early, early followers of Christ. They knew they had something to learn. So what might we still need to learn? They knew how important it was just to show up at fellowship. Who do we need to spend time with? Who needs us? They were faithful to the breaking of the bread. Renewed sense of how important sacraments are. What do they mean to us? And lastly, they were faithful to the prayers. Alone or with your family, am I praying enough? Because it's there that is the treasure of the presence of the risen Christ, one who is guardian and shepherd of our souls. Lastly, a few words about Vocation Sunday, and in particular, priesthood, as we make that special petition and intercession tonight. There's a famous line from an American bishop that has made the circuit: if a parish does not pray for vocations, they will not have any. If a parish does not pray for their priests, they do not deserve them. So we will pray for vocations this evening. And I know very well that you pray for your priests. Sometimes you tell me, most of the time I feel it. So thank you. And you know that I pray for you every day. And for some of you, especially in those times that you need them the most, I pray for you by name. So let's pray for the shepherds of the church, but let's pray for those who will be shepherds of the church tomorrow, especially those who might not even be aware of the call yet, so that when they are, their minds and hearts will be open to spend their life and their vocation in imitation of the Good Shepherd.